everybody. Welcome to this podcast, this More Than Just Muscles, strategies to help you become your very best, both inside and especially outside of the gym. That's what this show is for. I am so proud and fortunate to be joined by my lovely wife, Carrie LaCour.
Hello. Hi, everyone.
Hey, this show is not only to help you, you know, think about how to go about your training, your nutrition to build the body that you want. We've got a lot of your years of experience, not only doing that ourselves, but helping people just like you. And we can definitely do that in this podcast. But more importantly, we look at the whole world, life outside the gym from a fitness perspective. So we like to have fun with that, with people like us in our group, right? What's the phone number there they can call and join us, Carrie?
646-716-6182. Again, that's 646-716-6182.
Also, when you go over to the morethanjustmuscles.com podcast network, you can also, there's a chat room there. If you got some questions, you have some comments, make sure that you get on there, and we would love to have you participate either by calling, chatting, getting a lot of feedback, mostly because, Carrie, I talk with my one-on-one coaching students all throughout the week, right? And so, you know, part of what I have them do is to always make sure that they are listening to the podcast.
Oh, yeah. Or,
you know, because it just gives them a lot of perspective, a lot of my thoughts. It really reinforces everything that we talk about when it comes to their lives.
It
stimulates a lot of thoughts. So I get a lot of feedback, and they really, the guys making their manformation, they really enjoyed the last two podcasts that we did about relationships, right? Getting some insight from their big brother, Skip, who about checking into all the insights. And, you know, I'm really, it's always been human nature, obviously, has always been a real interest, a passion, first starting how to become a better athlete, and then it spread. I mean, you hear all the podcasts, the clips, all the audio programs, courses that I bought. I mean, I'm still emerged in it ever since a coworker took me to a Zig Ziglar seminar when I was 21 years old. So you're certainly aware of that, and it just, I'm just looking at it from when we're watching rally TV shows or on the news. I mean, I'm constantly...
You're always commenting on it.
Right, and it's just something that I'm just fascinated with. Definitely, I've been fascinated with that even more than before bodybuilding and training. And so when I got into bodybuilding training, a lot of people, you know, want to know how I was so successful or persistent or last so long. And it was really because of the mental challenge that I set it up. And, you know, with all my writing, you know, that mental edge, that MTC, mental self-fitness conditioning or whatever, was all weaved into all the writing, whether it was about training strategies, cardiovascular training strategies, or nutrition, because the mindset is the most important thing.
You're like the Tony Robbins of bodybuilding.
You know, when I was writing for the muscle magazines, I would hear that a lot. You know, Iron Man, I would do a monthly column called Thinking Big, right? You know, my series of ebooks, Thinking Big. And so, I would hear, that's quite a compliment. also, that I like about that is there are a lot of coaches out there in the whole fitness world, and that's great. I mean, they teach you how to align your macros and put you on a training program, and it's primarily to get you ready for a contest, whether it's a bodybuilding contest or a bikini contest or a physique contest. And that's just not what I do. I mean, with Mass Machine Nutrition and everything else I have going on, the amount of time, right, that, you know what it was like when you were a competitor. Did you have a contest coach along the way?
No. I had kind of a mentor, but it wasn't.
Someone kind of helped you. Well, I remember I had in my second year of competing, I had a contest prep coach. And let me just say this, you know, I just thought he was the greatest thing in the world. And I'm sure he was awesome, all right, at what he did. It's just that you're so new to it, cracking the code of what it takes.
Yeah.
I mean, it was just so, and you just thought the guy was, he must be a magician.
Right.
How does
he
know how to do all, because it's so new to you, this whole contest preparation thing. Oh. You know, I always talk about that. People, you know, if that's what you want, and you think you need a coach for contest prep, you know, it may be something, you know, good to do once, But it, have you ever noticed this? Kara, I know you have, is once somebody does one contest, all of a sudden now they're a contest prep coach.
Right, right, yeah.
And I'm not knocking them.
Yeah.
I'm not knocking them. It's just that's all it takes is for you to go through it once. And right. Then all of a sudden it's not you uncover the the curtain of the Wizard of Oz and see it's not that big of a deal.
Yeah.
So, when people say, well, how can he be he or she be a contest prep coach? They've only done one contest because it's that easy, right, to structure. The benefits aren't that. It's just not what it seems once you break past it, you go through the whole process.
Yeah, and, I mean, it may not be easy to a lot of people, but once you figure it out.
Right. When I say easy, I don't necessarily mean that it's easy to follow through and it's easy to get lean. The process is a lot more simple. What you need to do, just set them up, knock them down, and go through it.
Yeah.
It's a lot more simple than it seems before you do
right.
it. I know, like with a lot of bodybuilders, like a lot of guys, they want to enter a contest, right? And then the first thing that they want to ask me is, what song do I pick out? How do you know what song to pick out, right? It's like, no, it's very common for guys
that's
wanting
funny.
To enter a show. To them, that's the most intimidating thing. And as they're just getting in the process, that's the first thing they think of.
Huh.
Or they get really excited. They have a contest in 6 months, and they've already picked out their song. And I'm thinking, well, that's great. Not that important in the big picture. And, that song's going to be 6 months old when
right.
you enter this contest. But it's just, a lot of things are counterintuitive when you haven't gone through it. And once you go through a contest preparation, you'll know the process. You could be a contest prep coach. Anyway, the reason why that takes a lot of time, I was going to talk about when I had, my contest prep coach, and I just thought he was just a wizard. He was just a magician. How does he know all this stuff? He's just a genius because I was looking so great, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, it's just because he gave me the fundamentals and I worked my ass off. Literally and figuratively, right? And but I just remember being so dependent on him. Like, I wanted to call him every 5 minutes, especially the last couple of weeks, because you have so much uncertainty. I don't care how great you looked. You work so hard. You want to look great on the day of the show.
Yeah.
And he wasn't available. And I remember how pissed off I was at him. I not now, because come on. You got to just go through it, right?
Yeah.
And you're not paying him so much money that he's on speed dial and talking
right.
to you all the time and calming down every fear you had. And if you've gone through the contest preparation process, then you'll know what I'm talking about. where you're looking great and you're saying, yeah, I'm just going to nail this contest. I'm looking awesome. You catch yourself in the mirror. Literally 2 hours later, think, oh my God, I look terrible. There's no way. Why am I doing all this, right? Am I right? So just think, if you had a contest prep coach and you're so emotionally invested, you have so much time invested, and you get on the phone and they're not available, you'll get pissed off at them. It takes so much babying.
Yeah.
Right? Especially those first few times. I understand what that competitor needs. They need that validation and emotional support all the time.
Mm-hmm.
So I totally empathize. I totally understand. I went through it myself. At the same time, that is not the highest and best use of my time, which I coach and teach all of my students, and all of them are not in the bodybuilding and fitness business. One of them is personal trainer, trying to break out of that business.
Right.
But most of them aren't in the fitness business. So in their regular jobs, in their regular life, continually focus on the result that you want and what's the highest and best use of your time is what you're doing right now. Helping you to those results, right? And so, I have to walk the talk. There's that saying again, right? I got to Google that, right? I have to
If I'm going to talk
about it, right, then I have to walk it, right? I have to
walk
my
talk,
right? And so, just with everything that I'm doing to make this impact on the whole world, not individually, I guess you can do it one by one in a way, and Mass Machine Nutrition, how to provide for our families at the highest level, right?
Yeah.
That's not the highest and best use of my time. I don't discourage someone from being a contest prep coach, because you will learn so much about the whole process and dealing with people and providing value in a service, just that where I am right now. And so I understand what they need. At the same time, I understand what I need, right? And I just know that I wouldn't provide a good service for them. They would be frustrated with me because, you know, I'm, you know, making a $100,000 purchase order for Mass Machine Nutrition and worrying every step. I could care less. You know, I guess I shouldn't say that. If I took a person on as a competition client, right, which I would not do, right, if I did, it would be very hard for me to talk to them 2 hours after when they said, wow, I'm looking great. I'm right in the middle of a very stressful situation.
Yeah.
You know, my days are stacked from 3:45 in the morning until whenever I drop dead at night to really empathize and connect, right, with them. So I know that I can't provide that service that they want. So, you know, I'm just not going to do that. What was the point of this whole story about the difference between coaching, right?
Yeah.
Oh, the Tony Robbins. Yeah. You mentioned the Tony Robbins. I like that moniker. I like that way of describing me because what I do is not about the sets and reps. I mean, I can do that. I do make people accountable that they show up for the gym, they live up to their promises. But that is easy once you get your whole mind and your thinking and your limiting beliefs and get that confidence. You're connected to your vision. You have your short-term, medium-term goals, and there's someone to hold you accountable so you can't forget about them. I mean, going to the gym and making sure you eat the meals that you should, that becomes easier for the whole process. So I really like that. I like that being the Tony Robbins of bodybuilding. That really describes what I do. I may be a former accomplished bodybuilder, and the vast majority of the people who I help are definitely fitness-minded. Birds of a feather flock together. This is something that we do. Although I do have a lot of people who they have no idea I was a bodybuilder, you know, either.
Right.
So that's what I do. I help you get the most out of your potential. I help you develop a dream, a vision for your life, and work systematically and make you accountable to those. And inside and outside of the gym, that's what this More Than Just Muscles podcast is all about. This is More Than Just Muscles podcast number 19. We've been doing this, 19 weeks in a row, taking a different edge. Again, if you want to call in, the number is 646-716-6182. In addition to, again, we talked about the last couple weeks. It was interesting with the guys. And really, I mean, I put a lot of thought. I've had a life experience. And when they ask questions about dating, relationships, women, becoming the best that they could be to be in the kind of relationship they want, you know, I know that I'm passing along information that they would have to go through a lot of school of hard knocks. And not that they're not going to make their own mistakes, because they will. It's just that where I might have made a mistake over, I didn't connect to the pattern. How things run in a pattern, even with people that, you know, people are all different, but there's general patterns. And I may have been optimistic or naive, and I kept on hitting that same block over and over again. And maybe it took me 10 times before I got it. Now, I don't expect, just because I'm coaching these guys, I'm giving them insight, I'm sharing my experiences, that they're going to get it on the first time, although that would be ideal. What I do know is because I point out the potential pattern, when it happens one or two or three times, boom, they'll react, they'll adjust to it a lot sooner in the process. It won't take them 10 times like me.
Yeah.
Right? And I know that's such a powerful service that I provide, a value that I provide, and not just with guys who are looking to gain more confidence, to figure out how the relationship game works. Also, they're working out and training and all business and how that all works. A lot of those things. So
I think also, I think it's really valuable when you give, a lot of times you have the insight on the other person's perspective and what they're going through and where they're coming from. Because I think it's just human nature just to say, well, why can't they be like this? You know,
That's a good
point. You offer a lot of good points of view from the other side.
I appreciate that. And actually that's what, one gentleman who I coach, it was just yesterday, you know, he's got a situation. And, again, your life is the quality of your relationships, whether you realize it or not. That's one thing I like really make sure that I emphasize to the people in the bodybuilding and fitness world, because many times they create a world where they depend on themselves and themselves mostly.
Yeah.
And sure, they want a little help, but their life really is not designed to learn how to build rapport, to persuade, to influence, to create win-win situations. It's not, they may dabble in that from time to time, but the quality of life is how well you can do that and how effective and efficient, how you know how to do that game. And it takes a lot of practice. They've been out of the game, and you and I know what this is like, you know, because they focus on what they're great at, where it just depends on them, that structure. And they never get better and better at the game of setting frames, creating win-win situations, getting people to joyfully and willingly want to help you while you're helping them to schmooze. You know, there's a lot of guys in the fitness. I'm not a kiss ass. yeah. And I'm thinking, why? As we go through the Morning Connection review for this week, you know, I talk about it, and it was just yesterday. It's about how to attract, maximize, and keep great mentors in your life, right? You know, the thing about it is, if I'm going to be your mentor and go out of your way, right? And, you just set up with Joe Fonzia, a very well-established Bay Area sportscaster. You know, Carrie used to train him. And so she has this connection. And so she set up a situation where my nephew, Ronnie, and you may be following this Ronnie's bigger and bolder journey. He's got 15, 16 weeks now until he goes off to school. And we're documenting his whole journey, both inside and outside of the gym. You really want to check that out. That's at skiplacour.com/journey. Right? And we're doing videos and audios and weekly reviews, and especially the goal setting session that we set at the beginning. It's an hour of power. You definitely want to listen to that. Again, that's at skiplacour.com/journey. And so, you know, he wants to be a sportscaster. And so Carrie set it up where he got to interview this well-established major market, San Francisco Bay Area sportscaster. So, again, you can check that out. Either go to my Facebook page, facebook.com/SkipLacour page, or check out that skiplacour.com/journey. And follow that, because I don't care if you want to be bigger, like in the gym. We all want to be bolder. The man formation part of the journey, building more confidence, goal setting. I'm keeping him accountable, like giving him lessons, like going through my man formation program. Also, some sales courses that I've done, like the Wolf of Wall Street. I have him going through that every week and being accountable. So, and we review. I really push him, and I'm really going to push him throughout these weeks. But again, we all can learn something from this journey. But the point, though, as I was saying, is that, you know, Carrie set up this interview with Joe Fonzi. Right. And so he's taking, and he took a lot more time than I thought he was going to take. And he was so gracious. And he, man, I'll tell you, Ronnie needs to keep this 10-minute interview that he did with Joe Fonzi. It's on YouTube, Skip LaCour, youtube.com/SkipLacour. You're going to find it anywhere on the internet here. I mean, this 10 minutes had so much about life, not just about broadcasting. And I told this to Carrie. I said, wow, I'm not crazy passionate about sportscasting. But I'll tell you this. If I was just kind of half in it and half out of it, I don't know of what he prepared him for, if I would be willing to do all that, all the sacrifice.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's just me. It's a good gut check. But it also prepared him for what he's going to need to withstand and overcome to succeed. I think that 10-minute was just awesome. Ronnie could play that video every 2 months for the next 10 years. And every single time, it would be helpful to him. I mean, that's how much valuable information, you know, that he passed along. And again, it's a real gut check time. But at the same time, people would have said that about us, about what it takes to become a figure champion like you were, or a bodybuilding champion like me, if they're sitting on the edge of this, like, I don't want to do that, right?
Yeah. And I think, too, you know, we were going into it saying, well, we're not going to take too much of his time. We'll just only have him speak for like five minutes. But his attitude was that he was willing to give all this really valuable information. And all we really had to do was ask, you know, for one opportunity. And he gave us so much.
And I did talk about that, is that, look, I mean, the part is about, you know, why I brought that up right now is because I was talking about getting on the whole path on becoming better and better and better and making your relationships with other people a priority, and then going on that path to get better and better at it, and about schmoozing, you know,
Yeah.
It does, you know, I don't have to make it black or white. That means I'm a kiss ass. The point is, you know, if somebody met me just, and this is obviously true with Joe Fonzi, you know, if they met me on the street, I've gone through a lot of shit. I've gone through a lot of ups and downs and all arounds to get to where I am. If somebody wants to come to me, I would love, and I guess that's my whole mission with these podcasts. It's not just about, hey, look how great I am. I very rarely do I talk about how great I am. I talk about the journey that's in front of you, the setbacks that I overcome. That's to get to where I am and especially where I'm going in the future. Because as you guys know, you got to wake up every single day with your game face on, right? And you got to have that MTC, mental toughness conditioning. And that's what, if someone pulled me aside, I would just love to just share everything I had, whatever time I had, of a kid who is genuinely interested in what it takes to get there. I just would, because it makes me feel good that somebody appreciates all that Rubik's Cube that I was able to figure out, right? And I just felt the same thing with Joe Fonzi. You could just tell. It just solidifies the journey that he's gone through. And the point is if you want a great mentor in your life, appreciate his hard work. Appreciate what he's done. Compliment on what recognize his effort. Show your appreciation. He'll spill his guts just, you know, like Joe did, like I've done many times. Because it makes us feel good to give back that all of our hard work, all of our pain, all of our suffering, and he talked about it, you know. Look, his first job was a film boy is what it was called. And he said, it had nothing to do with sports. But it got him in the building. He said, getting in the building is the toughest part. See, I know Ronnie right now because at 20 years old, almost 21, how he's absorbing so much information. I know he's not getting – there were so many gems in that 10 minutes.
Yeah.
There was so – there's no way where he is right now he can absorb all of them. And that's no knock on Ronnie. That's just how life is. That's why I said he can listen to that 10 minutes every 2 months for the next 10 years and learn something valuable.
Right.
And if not so much the words, it's just the nuance and the feeling that he can't appreciate right now when he listens to it, right? When he's in the heat of the battle 10 years from now, there's going to be something on there. Okay, so it's about mentors. But, you know, Ronnie showed appreciation and humbleness, not like, you know, that he's got a great opportunity. And that's what you need to do. That's all part of that journey of getting people, you know, to really help you. And that's the things that I talk about in my Morning Connection podcast all the time. That's what I love to talk about in this More Than Just Muscles, not necessarily just about the sets and reps. All right. So again, you know, how we settled into a format where during this Morning Connection podcast, I'll wrap up the week. Karen, I'll wrap the week. I'll talk about the six Morning Connection podcasts that I do every morning on my way to 200 Morning Connection podcasts, where we just finished up Morning Connection podcast number 177. So we still got a month or so. Make sure you're on the train of getting your MTC, mental toughness conditioning, every single day. Get that conditioning, get it in that pattern. And, you know, maybe we can continue our relationship in other ways after the 200, or you can listen to them over and over again. They'll be timeless, just like that Joe Fonzi video. All of these, all 200, go to skiplacour.com, go to podcast, or right here on this More Than Just Muscles podcast network, or on iTunes. It's everywhere, all right? All right, so and the format that we've come up to is I'm going to review the Morning Connection podcast, just in case you missed any of them, or maybe I'll share this, like, oh, wow, that sounds great. That's what I need. I don't have necessarily the time to listen to all six at a half an hour. Maybe that's too much of a big chunk for you, but maybe I'll talk about one that you got to go right to, and it can get some inspiration to you. And then what we do is we talk about life outside the gym. We talk about current events, right? We're more than just muscles, right? But the great thing about it, I'll share my insight. Kara, share our insight. We'll have some fun with it from people like us, fitness-minded people looking at the world. Right, and hopefully we won't be any of those like fit moms or bodybuilding douchebags or something like that. Yeah, man. Yeah, Obama, man, he's a good president, or he's a horrible president. But more than all that, man, he needs to build up those arms. You know, right? Hopefully, you won't be talking about news from that perspective. Right? So let's do the review. So on Morning Connection podcast number 172, I talked about why you don't want to be right about some of your beliefs. Carrie, do you know what I'm talking about here?
Yeah.
You know, the thing is that sometimes we intellectually, we want to go to the next level. We know we must go to the next level. The thing is, sometimes we don't realize we're too emotionally tied to our old self, even though it's not working. And so, you know, I just had an initial phone consultation for a coaching session with somebody. It's like, it's not working. You don't need to tell me your thought process, right? I mean, first of all, I've done this enough. I've experienced it. I can understand, you know, where you came up with the thought process, but you shouldn't get emotionally tied. If what you're doing isn't working, if you're not getting the results and you're certainly not happy or fulfilled, it's tied into a lot of beliefs about how you think things should work. And here's the thing about it is you shouldn't be tied to those beliefs. You don't want them to be right, because if your beliefs about yourself, about the way you do things, if you believe that what you're doing is spot on, absolutely right, and you still aren't producing the results that you want, you're still not living that life of happiness and fulfillment, then there's something majorly wrong, right? Maybe, again, that would mean you're stupid or you can't figure it out, right? You want those beliefs about what you can achieve to be wrong, right? So you don't want to hold on to them, and they're tied in many ways. And I talk about that in great detail in Morning Connection podcast number 172. Morning Connection podcast number 173. This is something anyone driving for success, like I said, we all have to get up in the morning with our game face on, right? And the difference between you and that person you admire who's achieved and accomplished, they have what you want, right? Sometimes it's just one more question from the right person. Just one more time, one more year, just a little bit longer. It isn't that they're more brilliant than you. You know, it isn't that they're smarter, they have an opportunity. It's just that they have a challenge in front of them. It's like they ask one more person to give them that advice. Maybe it's a Joe Fonzie. Maybe it's a Skip LaCour. Maybe it's a Carrie LaCour. All right? You ask that one more person, and you ask them one more question, because many times you don't even know what questions to ask them. They're on the other side where you don't know what that tastes like, feels like, looks like. And so you may be asking questions that really aren't good questions. So you have to continually ask more questions, whatever's going to do the breakthrough. Many times, again, one more question of the right question from the right person, one more time to do that. That's what makes a difference. That stacks up over years. And I talk about that in Morning Connection podcast number 173. Morning Connection podcast number 174. What aren't you willing to do to reach your goals, and should that be reevaluated? Right? I mean, talked about that Joe Fonzie interview. I looked at that. Me not being passionate about being a sportscaster, I thought I would not be willing to do that.
Yeah.
Right? But
there's a lot of things people aren't willing to do,
and they feel justified. They want to do it without it. And look, there's a fine line, or there's some gray area between trying to design the life that you really want on your terms.
Yeah.
Right? You know, we talked about it this week, is that, you know, I've got some big goals. I don't want to be traveling all over the world all the time. Not at this stage of my life, not with our family, not with my values and priorities. But I still want to have this big dream board full of events and feelings and accomplishments,
right,
and options. I still want that. So it's okay to work to live life on your terms. At the same time, you have to see, you know, if what you're willing to do and what not you're not willing to do, if that's going to work, right? And so that's something that you need to think about, at least reconsider some of those things. Like I said, I'm incorporating more travel, you know, into my schedule, because after, you know, considering what I wanted versus what can speed things up, you know, happy medium. But the point is, I didn't just lock on to what I'm not willing to do and then just set it and forget it. And that's what the podcast is about. You need to think about these things and then reconsider if that's, you know, if that's going to work for you. All right. Mm-hmm. Morning Connection podcast number 175. Who gets the credit or the blame for the quality of people in your life? Again, man, people. Again, if you don't realize the importance of people in your life and how you do have the power to, but you got to get on this skill set. You got to make it a priority. You got to get on the train of becoming better and better, just like maybe you do with your body. It's a process. It's a skill set. It's distinctions. It's strategies, right? But it takes focus, and then it takes practice. It's having a major impact on your life, whether you want to accept that or not. Even if you tuck yourself away, you're really limiting your options. And if there's an overriding theme that I want to talk to a lot of us in this fitness world, is that, all right? Because they found a level of success not thinking that way. As a matter of fact, I've said this over and over again. I get young guys, they really get engrossed in the bodybuilding and training process. It dominates their life, and they'll come to me and say, well, you know what, Skip? That's why you became successful, right? I'm doing what you did. Or they'll say, you know what? Man, if you can be successful in bodybuilding, that you learn the skills that you can be successful in any area of life. I think that's true to an extent, except for the fact when you can't depend on yourself to be really successful in life. You can't just cut out all the options, be in your cave, just be very, very good at what you do. I mean, you could get by. You could do pretty well, I guess, but you can't maximize.
Only depending on yourself. You mean?
Yeah, only depending on yourself. You know, with that bodybuilding mindset. See, that's where I don't think the lessons that you learn from bodybuilding and training and fitness, that discipline, that's where I don't think it's transferable to a very high quality of life, is the lack of dependency, the almost avoidance of this whole skill set with other people, right? So I talk about that a lot, but in Morning Connection podcast number 175, I mean, I put the burden on you. It's on you. Who gets the credit for the great people in your life? Was that just the universe? All right, did it just happen? Who gets the blame when you have that crazy girlfriend, right? And I also talk about, you know, there's one thing I talk about in there is that if you had this whole lineup of crazy girlfriends or crazy boyfriends or all your coworkers suck or this or that, you know, whether you realize it or not, you are so much in control of the people around you and your attitudes towards them. You're not just being like a sailboat without a sail tossed around in the ocean. So if anything,
blowing with the wind,
right? Dust in the wind, blowing in the wind, right? Yeah, that's not you. That's whether you think that or not. That isn't you. You do have the power. You do have the control. And if anything, just take that from what I'm saying, right? And if anything, don't tell people how messed up everybody in your life is and all your past girlfriends or past boyfriends are, because the healthy people, the powerful people, the people who are in control of their lives that you want to attract yourself to and be one of them someday, if you're, you know, they're gonna just listen to you. Uh-huh. That's very interesting. And then they're going to go their separate ways. The only people you'll attract when that's how you think life works, or you think that, and you have all these crazy boyfriends, crazy girlfriends, crazy people, bad people, and it's not your fault. Obviously, if you tell everybody about that being your situation, you obviously must not think it's your fault, right? The only people you're going to attract are people who feel just as powerless about the people in their life as you. And then it's just going to be birds of a feather flocking together, where you want to get with those people who are kind of going, and walking away. Because those people have figured out that they're in control. And they're, whether they say it to you or not, they're thinking, well, whose fault is it that you have all those crazy boyfriends? Do you really think it's not your fault? The only common denominator is you. Of course, they're not going to tell that to you, right? So if anything that you can learn from that podcast is, don't tell everybody about all the crazy people in your life as you're working on this, right? So, and then Morning Connection podcast number 176. This is the overriding thing of my whole man formation program. If you think it, you must do it. There's a part of you. When you're in any situation, the first reaction sometimes is, wow, I need to do this. I need to kick it up a gear. I need to try this. And then fear sets in. And then you start writing, well, maybe not this time. Everything happens for a reason. Timing is everything. I won't do this quite yet, or whatever. That's the part of you who thought about it too much, that in fear set in. And so the mantra is, if I think it, I must do it. And you can apply that to a lot of things in your life, and it builds that MTC, that mental toughness conditioning.
Yeah, remember we were watching that program with Seth MacFarlane last night, and he said, They were asking him why he continues to push the envelope and do something different. And he said that he doesn't feel comfortable if he's not doing something that scares him a little bit.
Right, right. I picked up on that exact point, too. And, you know, I'm a big Seth MacFarlane fan. I don't know about his personal life too much. He seems kind of like an enigma there.
Well, it seems like, when would he have time for a personal life?
Right, right. But multi-talented and everything. Yeah, and by extremely. The way, Seth MacFarlane, Family Guy. That's
well, not only Family, but he does the voices on Family Guy. Right, he does right. The
well,
music.
And he did the movie Ted with Mark Wahlberg, and then the teddy bear. He did that movie. He hosted the Oscars. He sings.
And now he's doing
albums.
A science show.
Oh
science
yeah. Show. So yeah. And you know, I was surprised how young he got his break
at 24.
At 24. So that was no more than like. Probably 10 years ago?
Yeah,
about
I think
12
said,
or 13 years ago.
Because it was right before... No, they said it was right before 9/11, the
Yeah, so
the family
right, right.
Guy.
Okay, so that he was 24, and then that was, just say, 13 years ago.
Okay,
so he's 37. A lot of accomplishments.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Started off really young. But yeah, I've always admired him, and every time I'm a big podcast guy, if you guys haven't noticed that, that I listen to a lot of podcasts, and I've heard him on several podcasts. Again, you know, he doesn't talk about his personal life. I'd be kind of interested on how all that is.
Yeah.
He's got a movie coming out, too.
About, the Western.
A Million Ways to Die.
Yeah.
That, I think, I already know that's a funny movie, the whole premise of it.
Yeah.
Because it's like, you know, he explained it. And we saw this on CNN. It was a spotlight on CNN last night. And the whole premise is that we glamorize the Wild Wild West, you know, and what was like good time period of life. And so I guess he's like a beta male in this Western alpha male world. And the point is, he's thinking, you know, that was so dangerous. Life was so hard. I mean, you could either you kill or be killed in the Wild Wild West. He goes, it wasn't that fun of a time, especially if you're a beta male. And so it's him going through it, and it's, and they show on the commercial all the different ways that people die from having those big blocks of ice or, right, some guys in the town square, and a bull just runs through and gores them and takes them through town, right? So it's a million ways to die in the Wild West. So that it sounds like a funny movie. Again, I'm a big Seth MacFarlane fan. So, yeah, I picked that up when we were watching, too. We didn't comment on it at the time, but... Here's a guy, he's accomplished. That's why, you know, so I tell people, the only difference between you and that person who you've accomplished, he just stretched himself more than you, and he may have more time pushing himself than you. But the thing is, you this MTC, this mental toughness conditioning, more confidence, it isn't like you gain confidence. Hey, I'm confident, and then you set it and forget it. We all need more confidence because we all should be pushing ourselves to accomplish something that we've never accomplished before. And there's always going to be that fear. If Seth MacFarlane at 24 years old, and now he's 37, is talking about fear, right, then he's battling that, and he always has to engage and somehow summon more and more confidence. That's something that we all can work on. And that's why I'm so much into this MTC, mental toughness conditioning, because I know how powerful it is no matter what you've accomplished. All right, so that was Morning Connection Podcast number 176. Morning Connection Podcast number 177. This is what Karen and I, we were just talking about how to attract great mentors, maximize their power, and keep them in your life. That, if there's any podcast that you're going to listen to that one, because I know that I've had many great mentors in my life, and I've understood their value, and I have gone out after them. And at the same time, although I've got a lot of great use out of them, you know, there's some that I didn't maximize it. And I tell you about some of the things that the challenges that I ran into without, I can look back and understand now where I didn't really maximize their value because of a certain mindset, a certain way of thinking. And that's what I talk about in that podcast. I tell you about the things that even though I schmoozed, I created win-win situations. I got these great mentors to help me, and they were massively helpful. I didn't even maximize it. And so I talk about that. I also have a lot of people who want my help, my mentorship, and they're just making some really key mistakes. So, you know, if you wish you got that break, if you wish you got somebody to help you, and you can't seem to figure out why you're not lucky enough to have a mentor who will take you aside and help you, then you really want to listen to that podcast, because someone who has successfully attracted great mentors in his life, and, you know, I tell you, I haven't maximized their potential. So there, I talk about the positive things. I see this from the positive perspective. I also see this from the things that I didn't do as well. But I also see it from people wanting to become a mentor too. Hey, you know how that when you have you ever gone to like a seminar and they have the mic in their hand, right? And every time they'd get to a certain part on the stage, there'd be that buzzing sound, Carrie. You know what I mean? And then he walks back, and then he gets closer, and then obviously, when he gets closer to, I don't know, a metal object or something, it has that buzzing sound. Well, that's how Brooklyn's acting right now. It's like when Carrie steps away from the microphone, she steps up. Anyway, anytime she comes up to the microphone to add some commentary, then Brooklyn's going to wail. She's like that right now. So anyway. All right, so let's go through one thing that we do if you're new to listening to this podcast is at the end of every Morning Connection podcast, I take you through a process, 10-second daily disciplines, as I call it, right? And so we're going to do it 7 days a week. Success, life, the next level, doesn't take days off. So here we are on Saturday, and so we're going to go through our 10-second daily disciplines. So what was that thing that you did yesterday that really impressed you, right? Sometimes it doesn't have to be some big thing. It could be a small thing, but what was that thing that you did yesterday that really impressed you? Right? What was that moment yesterday? And we all have them. They don't have to be some huge moments, but what was that moment yesterday when you said, man, life is pretty darn good. Life is pretty darn good. Again, it could just be the look of your child's eyes. It could just be you realize, man, I love summer. I love this weather. Right? Get you in the habit of looking back as I condition you through this process every single day through the Morning Connection podcast is for force you one more rep. All right. I want to force you to look for these things. I want you to look for something that impressed even you. I want you to look for that, look back on your day and that one cool moment. Doesn't have to be something huge. Again, that when you just said life was pretty darn cool, because if I can condition you to identify those things in your past by asking that question every day and you play full out, then you'll start noticing them when they're happening. You'll start noticing them when they're happening. And just think of your life when you can appreciate the things that impress even you. You can notice them while they're happening, right? Someone doesn't have to say, man, you're pretty lucky. That was pretty cool. And then you say, what? Oh, I guess it was, right? You can, identify these things right when they're happening, things that impress you, that push you just a little bit further out of that comfort zone, like we were talking about with Seth MacFarlane. Right? You appreciate them, right? And then those cool moments, right? Because here's the thing. I help you with this, and I ask you this question. You play full out. You start looking back on your day and forcing yourself. Again, one more rep. You think you've done it all, but I force you to do one more rep, and you start identifying those things. Then in the future, because your brain is so conditioned to look for those things, you'll notice them right when they're happening. You don't need me to ask you, the next day, what was something that impressed even you? Or what was that cool moment? Because you'll notice it right when it's happening. Here's the third part of that. When you get your brain so conditioned that with this MTC, mental toughness conditioning, is you'll actually start creating moments that will impress even you. You'll start creating those magic moments. All right, so there's a method to this madness. And again, just a little bit of focus every single day. And that's what these 10-second daily disciplines are for. then what I do is I get you to visualize, you know, that big goal, that big dream, that big accomplishment that you really want. It could be a constant achievement connection. Maybe it's the relationship of your dreams, the house of your dreams, the career of your dreams, the physique of your dreams, whatever it is. But I want this to be such a huge goal that it will take you months, if not years, of you stepping up with this MTC, mental toughness conditioning, doing the things, working past your fears and stepping up anyways. If I think it, I must do it, right? It would take you months, if not years, of you stepping up to accomplish this goal. I want something huge, something big. And then every single day when you think about those things, right, because there's always in your mind, whether it's right in the front of your mind because you just talked about it or you just thought about it or you have a dream board or something at home, but at least it's in the subconscious part of your mind. And it's something that gets you up early in the morning, and it makes you stay awake late at night, finding a way, being more effective and efficient with your time. You know, that's what the power of this. That's what it will do. That's what you'll work on, right? So that's what I want you to focus on, and just a little bit every single day, build that muscle, that visualization muscle, and then make it more clear and more sharp, more detail. Step into the picture, make it more colorful, add people that you love, feel it in your body, the emotions, right? Just 3 seconds every single day that's what you'll be working on, right? So get that picture in your mind. And then I have you continually be focused on what you need to do to get to that life that you really want, the results that you really want, okay? And so, but you have to know what those results are. I talk about, you know, the result that you really want is the Thanksgiving dinner, and sometimes we curb our appetite. We go for the short-term gratification, the low-hanging fruit in life, and we go for the peanut butter and jelly sandwich. I want you to focus on those results. Make sure everything that you're doing is working to that results, and then remind you. Ask you again and again and again, what is that result that you're after? I'll give you an example. You say you want to grow so big and confident. You want to make your man formation. You want to have this life of your dreams, right? And you say that's your result, right? But then you say, well, timing is everything, right? And it just isn't the right time for me to do this. I need to gain more information to step forward, right? You know, if I think it, I must do it, but you rationalize out of it, right? And so the question is, you say your result is become this powerful you and have all these great options in life, and that's the Thanksgiving dinner that you think you're working towards. Well, in that moment, whether you realize it or not, you're really going for a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. It's to be comfortable in that time. It's to avoid embarrassment, putting your heart on the line, all right, to feel safe, to not be inconvenienced. You're going for a peanut butter and jelly sandwich, but you think you're still going for those results. So that's why I continually push you with asking these questions. So as you're going through these Morning Connection podcasts, again, we've got 23 more going on.
23 more.
In this, that I want you to play full out. Don't just assume that you know the answers because you answered them for the last 10 times. Think. One more rep. Just like in the gym. You can't just go on autopilot in the gym. You know, it isn't like I can't squat this. I've squatted this weight 10 times before, so I'm on autopilot on this 11th leg workout. I mean, you got to focus every single one, and that's what I want you to do as I go through the 10-second daily disciplines. So what do you got in the news, Gary?
More of the Sterling saga. This is a two-parter. So we have... Steve Ballmer did the purchase of the Clippers for $2 billion.
Now, is that official? I know that they got that offer with Sterling's wife. It's official?
Said they reached a deal Thursday night to sell the Los Angeles Clippers to former Microsoft Chief Executive Officer Steve Ballmer for $2
million. $2 billion, yeah.
$2 billion, excuse me.
That's what I was going to say. I those numbers are so huge. I don't think people really realize how much money $2 billion is.
Well, and to put it into perspective, I guess the former record price for an NBA franchise was $550 million.
Oh, right.
So, and that was paid a few weeks back for the Milwaukee Bucks.
One thing that's inspiring about that story, You know, his worth is supposed to be $20 billion. So he just said gave away just two of the 20.
Wow.
He still has 18 billion left. But the biggest thing that inspired me is that guy changed the world. Now, he's not the Microsoft guy who's known as well as, Bill Gates, right? But he changed the world with Microsoft.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And the world paid him handsomely for his efforts. I'd love to hear his story. You know what I mean? Probably has some risk stories and persistent stories and things like that. $20 billion is a lot of money.
Yeah, they're saying that it's too high of a price because the price tag, I guess, that was kind of floating around was going to be $1 billion.
There's no such thing as too high of a price. Whatever people will pay, that's what it's worth. And I'll tell you this, if I wanted a prime L.A. franchise, I wanted to put my, just think about him. He may think, man, I started Microsoft too. Everybody knows Bill Gates. Nobody knows my name, right?
Right. Now they do.
He's thinking, yeah, I'm going to ride this controversy that everybody's talking about. I'm going to jump. It's worth $2 billion to establish my name.
Right.
Hell, I got $18 billion left.
Yeah.
Right? So whatever people will pay, that's what the value is. There's no such thing as too much,
That's true, huh? And then second part of the Sterling saga is that Donald Sterling is now suing the NBA, which apparently already has a counter. And the suit seeks more than $1 billion in damages. The elimination of his ban and the elimination of his $2.5 million fine. And it also seeks for the reinstatement of the former team president and the removal of the interim CEO and the termination of the NBA's plan to terminate his family's ownership of the team. I thought that was kind of interesting because it says that now the NBA is going to withdraw its pending charge to terminate the Sterling's ownership of the team because of the binding agreement to sell the team. The NBA termination hearing was scheduled for June 3rd, but now it's canceled. But the Sterling, Mrs. Sterling and the Sterling Family Trust has also agreed to not sue the NBA and to indemnify the NBA against lawsuits from others, including Donald Sterling. Basically means that the Sterling Family Trust might have to cover the NBA's expenses if Donald Sterling sues the league. Does that make sense? So Shelley can end up paying.
Out of their $2 billion?
Right. So I think this is going to be a little bit of a mess.
Yeah, because you're suing your husband indirectly.
So it's like all the same money, basically.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, this is a very complex thing. Obviously, that's why it's caught everybody's attention. But, man, I'll tell you this. That's, like Mark Cuban said, a slippery slope. Because you're saying, the league seems to be very confident. They can do whatever they want when you ruin their brand, okay?
Right.
Well, God, just how that even came out, you don't think that there's owners that have done something that, when that comes out, because it probably will now, and they better not be talking, whether it's in their home or not, with everybody having a phone that has a recording device, they better not say anything ever again, any owner of the league.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Because right? People are just, all those multi-million dollar, multi-millionaire owners, man, there's someone who's always going to have a tape recorder going on them, right?
Seriously,
It's a slippery slope, this whole thing, how it was initiated. I'm not saying what he did was right in any way, shape, or form, or his thoughts or his views. No way. It's just, man, it's a big price to pay, and it's setting such a tone for how everybody acts in the future, especially all those NBA owners. So it's really interesting.
So in other news, Eric Shinseki, steps down as the VA chief amid the weightless scandal from the veterans.
Right, right.
So I guess basically he's just kind of taking the fall.
Yeah.
He's saying that, he doesn't want any more distractions surrounding the scandal.
And the president. Yeah, he's a good
soldier. I don't
know
if it's directly his responsibility.
It's kind of like, now when something happens that if you're in charge of it, you got to take the fall. That's the way it is. Somebody has to resign. Somebody has to get fired.
Kind of like Sibelius.
Yeah. Yeah. And
from the Obamacare.
Oh, right, right. Yeah. Okay. And so, And so that's what he did. He was just a good soldier. You know, the thing is, I really think that at that level, they know their role. So he's not resigning in shame or anything. He's just something that he has to do. That's the way I look at it. The guy had a stellar career with a ton of accomplishments, obviously, to get to where he was. And, you know, there's ineffectiveness and inefficiency in every system. It's just how widespread it is. And, you know, he got up there, took it like a man. He said, look, when I first heard about this, I thought it was isolated events. But after my investigation, I see that it's widespread. You know, went out like a man, right? But that's just the way it has to work.
Yeah. This is going to be our last serious topic of the day. This this article just made me really appreciate living in the United States. So there was a mother in Sudan who was sentenced to flogging and death by hanging for marrying a Christian man. And so she was currently in prison, and she just gave birth to the couple's daughter. And this,
well, they did wait until she gave birth before they killed her, right?
Well, she's not dead yet.
Oh, okay.
But the death penalty has been delayed until after she gave birth and was able to nurse her for a while.
That was the nice part about it, right?
Oh, come on. I just thought that's really sad over...
Yeah, no, definitely.
I mean...
Religion, I tell you,
guilty of apostasy.
Organized religion, not faith and spirituality, but organized religion sometimes, people's human beings' interpretation of it has caused a lot of wars and a lot of deaths in this.
But I wonder if she knew about these consequences before she married him. Like,
I don't know. I don't know about that one.
Yeah. Anyway, it's kind of bittersweet. So glad that I don't live in Sudan.
Well, you know, if you did live in Sudan, would you not marry a Christian because of that?
I don't know. So how about this? Do you know what kind of a hugger you are?
You know, I was thinking about that when kind of reviewing the topics. You know, Carrie kind of just gives me a general review of what she's going to talk about. And I'm an evolved hugger because I was not a hugger at all.
I see.
Until pretty much after I started bodybuilding, started to kind of open up things. And I don't think I'm the best hugger in the world. Before, I was probably an anti-hugger before.
Like a side hugger? The side huggers.
Barely a side hugger.
These people want to be friendly, but not too friendly. They fear intimacy of chest-to-chest hugging and find a friendly side-back pat as a nice compromise.
Yeah, that was probably me.
The side huggers are typically males who are afraid of too much flesh contact with females or in-laws. And then the females who are afraid of non-marital chest-to-chest action or work friends who haven't seen each other in a while. How to approach a side hugger? It's good to just give in to the side hugger's advances. It's an easy, non-committal way of still being friendly.
You know what I do? I mean, this is... it's...
I'll go through all of them, and then you can tell me your opinion. Then we have the full frontals. So these people aren't satisfied.
Well, wait, let me... Okay. I think this, even though I don't know the article, but it's about that sensory acuity of, you should know what type of hugger it is just when they're 5 feet away. You can, if you really focus in on this, they give off certain body language. You can tell the vibe, the energy before they even step up. Wouldn't you agree with that?
Oh, yeah, for
especially
sure.
Especially if you focus it. And so the thing about it, if you're, you said how to approach it, right?
I mean,
this is topics that I've talked about, like in the Man Formation program and things like that, is that, you know, just because you're this type of hugger, whether it's a big hugger, a bear hugger, whatever the huggers are that you're going to talk about, you have to, a hug is to create rapport, just like a handshake. If they're not comfortable with this type of hug, you don't put their, you don't thrust your view of the world or your view of hugging or what's appropriate and not appropriate on somebody, because that breaks rapport. I'll tell you, if somebody's a side hugger and then you... just give me a bear hug, you crazy nut. Which you've seen in situation comedies and movies, right?
Yeah.
And then they go, that's not how a hug is supposed to create rapport. You know, I did a coaching client, you know, Deb. And she's a big hugger. I don't know if you see her in the gym, right? With everybody. Because she's just this big person. And so we talked about it. I said, you know, so you walk up to somebody, you feel that body language that they're not a side hugger or a non-hugger or whatever. And you say, and you look at them and go, are you into hugs? Are you into hugs? Because I'm really into hugs. And that disarms them. And they'll go, okay. And then they'll take the hug. You see what I'm saying?
Totally.
But they give you, you're asking, basically asking in a lighthearted way for permission.
Yeah.
And so that'll turn a side hugger into a full frontal bear hugger, whatever the things are. So it's all about a hug.
Yeah.
It's supposedly to build rapport, right?
Yeah.
Not to break rapport.
Yeah. So there's the full frontal. And in this, there should be no air between you and your fellow hugger. These hugs tend to be longer in duration, and usually they're usually very serious about greeting you. How to approach full frontals, and I find it's just best to give in. If the more you squirm, the tighter they squeeze.
See, that hugger that you feel you have to give in to, that hugger needs
to adjust.
Sensory acuity,
yeah.
Right?
Then there's the full frontals with kisses. For some full frontals, tight, intimate embracing just isn't enough, and they have to add kissing, sometimes several kisses, sometimes on both cheeks. The main problem here is that you're already pressed so tightly, and they can't go in for a swift in-and-out peck. They have to linger. I'm uncomfortable with that. I have to say, like, people who even kiss on the cheek, I'm like, that's kind of weird, you know?
Well, yeah, I know. I remember this one time. There was this girl that I really didn't know. She was just a friend, a buddy of mine's, and so I just leaned in and just gave her a big old kiss. I think I even slipped in a little tongue, and she seemed a little uncomfortable with that. No, not really, guys.
I can't see you doing that. Well, then there are the lip kissers. Oh, lip kissers, why for art thou lip kissers? Don't you know that you give us the willies? Lip kissers don't necessarily hug you too tight, but they are adamant that they will kiss you, and they will kiss you on the lips.
Because you should want it, man.
Yeah.
Don't you know it's about love?
That's extremely.
Life is about love. You got to lighten up, man. Take the kiss.
Now we have the one-arm double pat. And this is primarily practiced between two men who like each other, but they want to maintain that they are strong football-watching manly men. They approach from afar. They lean in, touch shoulders, and quickly and firmly pat each other on the back twice. A variation of the double pat is the handshake hug, in which a man approaches another as if to shake hands, and then once he's grasped the other's hand, he pulls him in and authoritatively pats him once or twice. That's pretty common for men, I think.
That's my bro to bro hug.
Yeah. How to approach the one-arm double pat.
It's funny, why is it two? Everybody, the universal thing is two pats.
Yeah, yeah.
It's not three, it's not four, it's not just one. It's always two.
I don't know the protocol on this one, but as men rarely offer the fraternal double pat to a lady, it says.
If you're a lady and he does that to you, he's not feeling any sexual
No, 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 definitely not.
That would be an insult to a woman.
Then there's the hesitator. And the hesitator isn't sure which category you or he, she fits into and performs a slight bird-like dance when meeting another hesitator.
I was a hesitator. My hand is raised right now. Just do it. Commit to one or the other, right?
Yeah. Not sure how to approach, they lean in slightly for a hug and then pull back and then begin to offer a hand and then pull back and then slightly lean in, et cetera, et cetera. They go on and on as you uncomfortably feel the other person out for what kind of a hugger they are.
See, I think that's what that one situation I talked about, it was kind of going back and
forth.
It's like, and so it was so uncomfortable. I was so confused. I didn't know what to do. So I said, if I think it, I must do it. And that's just when I went in for the big tongue kiss. I think a bad
Did you
move.
Dip her?
Yeah, bad move, but I was nervous, you know.
Yeah, so I think I'm probably a side hugger, I would have to say, and / hesitator. Yeah, I have a big space bubble.
Is that changing now that you're a mom, or what do you think? As you evolve and you're married and settled, and you know what I mean? I'm just wondering if the hug thing changes as you go through life. Maybe something to think about.
Something to think about, yeah. I'm not
or you
sure.
You've been locked down.
I haven't seen a lot of
people.
Yeah,
in the last 9 months.
Yeah.
The last 9 months of little Brooklyn.
Yep.
Who is looking especially cute, I must say, even though she's doing a lot of talking. She's waiting for her podcast debut. Go ahead, talk. Go ahead, talk. You want to talk? You want to? I got the microphone on you. Go ahead. Talk. Yeah. Yeah.
That is the cutest picture.
Okay, there she is.
Yay,
making
Brooklyn.
Her debut. You can join Daddy on the podcast now.
Well, we have one last story. And did you know that your twin was attacked in Hollywood the other night?
You're going to have to explain that to them.
Well, apparently, so let's explain this. So,
explain the twin part after you tell them who got attacked.
After this one interview, was it only after the interview?
It was YouTube? A guy who always does that. Oh, yeah, it was that one interview.
Yeah, so Skip had this interview on YouTube that went viral with this Ulysses guy who's like this really great natural bodybuilder. And there were tons and tons of comments saying that Skip looked like Brad Pitt.
Bald Brad Pitt, yeah.
Bald Brad Pitt, for some reason.
Jack Brad Pitt, yeah.
Yeah, jacked Brad Pitt. Brad Pitt with muscles or whatever, you know.
If you look at this video, has been watched. Some incredible, but I want to say a million, but that sounds too high. But it's really high if you go to youtube.com /SkipLacour, and it's been up there for a couple of years. So there's a tons of views and a million, well, not millions, probably over 1,000 comments, right? But if you look from beginning 2 years ago or 3 years ago until now, it comes up. The interview looks like a bald Brad Pitt. Now, I don't think I look like Brad Pitt, but
yeah,
it's just interesting how it's come up.
Well, but tell
again.
Them how you practiced.
All right. You know, the thing is that...
this is a coincidence, maybe.
No, I tell these stories over and over again, right? And I know I've mentioned this, but you know what? I don't care. I know I've said this on a podcast probably at least 5 times. Oh. But, you know, I listen to podcasters, like I said, and they say the same stories over and over again. So, damn it, I'm not going to worry about that, right? No, so... you know, part of the whole Manformation program and my study and my research for it to develop that program, and so this is about, you know, maybe closer to 8 years ago, you know, it's part of the walk, how you present yourself, that charisma. And I know that it's a certain set of techniques and skill set, but it really starts with your attitude. That's what will, your attitude, your mindset, that'll come through in your body movement, right? And, you know, it sends a message to the world. And so I can clearly remember this, knowing that, you know, I had to be conscious of my style, of my body language and walk. And so I was watching an award show, and Brad Pitt and Angelina Jolie, they walked out for this award show. And I just remember the man, he was just smooth as another side of the pillow. I mean, his gait, his walk was so cool. It was so cool. I mean, it really was. It just, like, wow. And I must have taped it, or I definitely locked it into my mind, because I just practiced that for a long time, that walk, right? And I'm telling you, like, I would say, like, within a few months, I'd be at Nordstrom's at the counter or something like that. And so, you know, and the girl said, "You look like Brad Pitt." Well, the funny thing about it, like 2 weeks before, I was in Florida, other part of the country, I was doing a presentation on stage. And I remember there's this older Asian lady. You know, she looked like English was her second language. Even she was at this seminar, and she pulled me to the back and says, "Does anybody ever tell you look like Brad Pitt?" So, and then not only just on that YouTube channel, right? That YouTube channel, I've seen that posted on the internet on pictures, you know, too. So I don't know. It's weird. Because if you look at it, there's, how do I look like Brad Pitt? Right. So just interesting. Sometimes, the human, our subconscious just picks up on certain cues, certain inflections of your voice. Maybe it is that walk, that body language, expressions on your face, not something physical, but in movements. And I think I must have picked up since that time a lot of Brad Pitt's certain mannerisms. And that's what they may be seeing more than the physical look anyway. Yeah.
Right. Well, I've gotten told twice that I look like Angelina Jolie, so maybe we're meant to be together, which I don't think by a long shot that I do, but it was a very fun moment in my life. I thought,
well,
thank you.
I hope we're meant to be together. Right?
So anyways, Brad Pitt was struck in the face by an infamous prankster while on the red carpet at the premiere of Maleficent 2 nights ago, I think. And he was like almost face planted, basically. And this is a Ukrainian prankster who has a record of doing these things on the red carpet. He was seen holding Bradley Cooper's crotch, or like embracing his crotch. Same
thing
with
Leo.
He's
just really bold. He gets through the line. He makes it his mission. And he gets publicity and go ahead.
Yeah, and so this is his fourth episode in the past year.
Where Will Smith, he kissed Will Smith.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And Will Smith's, just his reaction was just a slap him right in the face. Yeah.
So now he has a restraining order, I guess.
Now that's being bold. That's being obnoxious bold.
Yeah.
He should use those powers and creativity and ingenuity to right do something else with his life.
Now, how would you walk away from that nice and cool and calm and Brad Pitt-esque?
I think he acted cool.
Yeah, I didn't.
I like Will Smith's,
I think,
reaction.
He was laughing it off.
You know, but you're startled because, I mean, actually that could happen all the time. He didn't know what was happening initially, but I liked Will Smith's reaction. I mean, that was the alpha male because he just stood up to him. He didn't know what was going on either. You know what I mean? And he just stood up and just slapped him. You know, it was a good gut reaction because it's funny. It's like everybody thinks, well, what would you do in that situation? But you really don't know until you're faced with it. And Will Smith was really cool and manly how he handled that. You know,
yeah. So that's all the stories I've got.
All right. Well, thank you so much for listening to this More Than Just Muscles podcast. Number 19, having some fun with us this week, reviewing our week, wrapping up our week. So make sure that you join. Be with those last 23 More Than Just Muscles, or those Morning Connection podcasts for some MTC mental toughness conditioning. We'll still do our Saturday podcast after that one. Have some fun with you. So have a great day. Have a great weekend.
Yeah. Enjoy that weather out there.
Well, depending on where they were in the world, right? The other side of the
true
world.
Huh?
Other side of the world, it's not even summertime. But we really appreciate you. Hey, thank you for supporting us. I've talked a lot about coaching. Send me an email at skip@skiplacour.com. Hell, I'll even talk to you. If you think, Skip, I hear you talking about this, you know, send me an email. I'll talk to you on the phone for a few minutes, see if it's the right fit for you. Do whatever it takes. And I just want you to know is that I have a stacked schedule. It's just that, you know, there's some people who aren't always good matches. It's not a good match. They're really not as committed as maybe they thought. And it's very difficult for me to work with those when I know there's so many people like you waiting who are really committed, really to go at it. And so, you know, I make sure that it's the right fit. Also, the sessions, the 6 months or the 12 months continually. And so you want to make sure that you talk to me and be ready when that spot opens up and not do it some other time and then I won't have something open at all. And then there's three people waiting in front of you. So take action right now for that coaching. skip@skiplacour.com. We'll even talk on the phone because I know that this is an important decision for you. You got a lot of hopes and dreams and trust and that's going to pay off. Have no problem talking to you about that. Hell, we're going to become friends actually talking to each other every single week for at least a half an hour over the next 6 months or a year. You know, I'll take that time to invest in the relationship right even now. And also, thank you so much for supporting Skip LaCour's Mass Machine Nutrition. That's our highest quality, most effective bodybuilding supplement and sports nutrition line. You can check out the entire line at massmachinenutrition.com. And you can go to bodybuilding.com. I'll give you the short link to get over there. It's sltips.com/3. That's Mass Machine Nutrition on the world's number one online retailer, bodybuilding.com. sltips.com/3. Check that out right now because I've got four brand new products on there. Really excited about that. Introduced you to a new pre-workout. A lot of great things going on there. And plus, my shaker bottle. I've arrived. I have a shaker bottle, right? So, hey, check that out again. That's at sltips.com/3. Thank you so much for your support. Thank you. There's so many people to be listening to on the internet and blogs and podcasts. You're taking the time to listen to us. We really appreciate that. Thank you so much.
Yeah,
have
a
great day.
Thanks a lot. Have a great weekend. I've got the moves like Jagger. I've got the moves like Jagger.